ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Jack McLennan was 27, fit and visibly strong.
He was trained well. He knew how to hit, and I was gobsmacked.
He seemed ready for anything, but then he suddenly vanished.
I was just talking to him last night. Like, how the hell does that happen?
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me as I investigate what became of Jack in the new season of Unravel.
There has to be something more nefarious going on.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
House prices have begun to fall, with Sydney and Melbourne leading the downward trend. So, will they bounce back? Or could it be, as some predict, the start of a new cycle, where house prices remain stagnant for decades? Today, business editor Michael Yander on why this could be the correction young Australians have been waiting for. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Michael, right now the question is being asked, are we in the biggest property price correction in decades? It is a big question, but property prices are actually falling in Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too early to say whether this could be the biggest fall in decades. We have seen some pretty significant price falls in Sydney and Melbourne in particular, including in fairly recent years, such as after the interest rates started rising following COVID, the Sydney market in 2022 dipped about 6%. So price falls are not unprecedented in Australia. Property isn't a one-way bet, but we are definitely seeing prices down 0.9% in Sydney in the month of May, down 0.8% in Melbourne, and Melbourne's been pretty weak over the past 5 years, only up about 3.3% over that period. So, you know, we've come off a very strong market in 2024, but the downturn definitely looks to be underway.
Right. Okay. But it's not across the whole of Australia at this point. So it's a flattening out, if you like.
Yeah. So whereas Sydney and Melbourne are now in outright decline and have been for a couple of months, other markets are still growing quite strongly. Perth up 1.5% in May. The thing that makes that a slowdown is Perth prices are up more than 25% over the past year.
Oh my gosh.
So it is a slowdown, but still at breakneck pace, just from an even more breakneck pace.
So the property market, though, in Sydney and Melbourne has taken a hit. What does that mean at auctions, Michael?
Yeah, so we have seen auction clearance rates fall. And auction clearance rates, especially in Sydney and Melbourne, are the property market's best leading indicator, along with loan applications for where prices are going to be heading. And we've seen auction clearance rates on some occasions below 50% in Sydney.
Wow.
And anything below 60% is usually considered to be the indicator of looming falls in home prices. And we've seen that in both Sydney and Melbourne. And unsurprisingly, prices are falling in those two big cities.
At this inner Melbourne auction, the signs are up and the stage is set.
Who wants to start me off, buyers?
The silence says it all.
Buyers, looks like it's going to be a quick auction. At 1205, we will formally pass the property in.
All right, well, Jim Chalmers, the treasurer, he thinks this could be a good thing for first home buyers because they won't be competing as much against property investors.
We had seen the housing market already softening a bit before the budget decisions, the tax reforms in the budget are not the only factor when it comes to the housing market. But what we want to see is we want to see first home buyers getting a fair chance at auctions. And so we're seeing that increasingly. And to the extent that we're seeing that, that's a good thing.
But, Michael, doesn't it just mean that people aren't going to put their properties on the market? They're going to hold off until this corrects itself in the other direction?
Well, that could be the case. So at the moment, the reason we are seeing auction clearance rates low in Sydney and Melbourne and property prices falling is that there are actually more properties on the market, but fewer of them are selling. real estate agents are reporting across the board a big drop-off in the number of people to coming to each home inspection and the number of active bidders registered at their auctions. That's feeding through to these lower prices. And yes, it is in the short term an opportunity for first home buyers, because maybe some investors who were counting on being able to negatively gear their property since budget night, they're not able to do that, you know, as of next year. In the longer term, I've seen analysis from Westpac economists suggesting that they expect transaction volumes could fall by 20% in the market. That's because investors who already have properties might hold on to them longer to keep whatever grandfathered negative gearing they have. And also because, you know, fewer investors might jump into the market.
And as you kind of referred to, I guess one of the biggest losers in all of this are the real estate agents.
Yeah, I'm sure people will be shedding a lot of tears for their local real estate agent turning up to the auction that doesn't clear in their BMW, but they do have those lease payments to meet, so we shouldn't forget that, Sam.
Exactly. No, that is very true. All right. Okay. So let's now consider, Michael, what is actually happening here to cause this drop, particularly in Melbourne and Sydney at this point. Now, you mentioned, of course, negative gearing changes in the budget. Is it too soon, though, for those to be having an impact?
Look, I think they'd definitely be having an impact, and they were flagged really about a month before the budget that something was going to happen around capital gains tax. It became pretty clear, and then subsequently it became pretty clear that the government was going to target negative gearing, which is probably the bigger impact for most property investors than the capital gains tax changes. But this downturn didn't just start, you know, in the last month or two. It didn't even start this year with the first rate rise from the RBA in February, although that definitely accelerated things. Tim Lawless from Cotality, which puts this property price data together, said this downturn really began late last year. The rates of growth peaked early in spring and then started dropping, both because interest rate expectations changed and people were expecting more rate cuts, and then suddenly by the end of last year the Reserve Bank made clear there wouldn't be more rate cuts and there might even be rate rises, which transpired. The other factor, though, is he says the property market kind of just collapsed under its own weight a bit, in the sense that prices had risen so much and housing was becoming so unaffordable, particularly in a market like Sydney, that you're actually getting to the limits of what buyers could afford to pay anyway, and there's just no more price growth once people hit the limits of what they can pay.
And what does it mean for renters, do we know?
Look, we have seen, according to the Cotality figures, rents up about 6% over the past year. These are new asking rents. Treasury estimates the effect of these tax changes will be to push up the median rent, the typical rent, by about $2 a week. The reason behind that is, as we've seen in Victoria, you know, if a property investor decides, hey, you know what, I'm going to sell my property because I don't like where these tax changes are going, who do they sell to? It's either another property investor who still rents out the property, or it's to someone who intends to live in it who was probably renting.
Right.
And therefore, you'll have one less property available for rent, but you'll also have one less renter looking for properties.
So, Michael, as Australians, we have been used to, for a long time, housing prices kind of, they go down, but then they really do always bounce back, right? Well, that's how it feels. So should we expect that again? Will they just bounce back in the end?
It's really the multi-trillion dollar question, yes. Sam. The Australian housing market, I think, is up to about $12 trillion in value or something ridiculous, according to the ABS figures. Treasury estimates that the effect of these tax changes will be to lower property prices by about 2 percentage points from where they would have been otherwise. Some economists who are more market-based have slightly higher estimates. So you've got Morgan Stanley, a big investment bank, thinks it could drop prices by 5 to 10%. AMP comes in with about a 5% price drop forecast over the next 2 years. The big interesting forecast comes from Macquarie. The economists there think that if these tax changes are fully implemented, we might see no real price growth. That means price growth in housing below the rate of inflation for the next decade or two.
Wow.
And you know, considering what a wealth generation asset this has been for a lot of Australians over the past 30 years, what AMP's Shane Oliver calls the super cycle in housing prices surging, you know, that is a big change for people to get used to, that actually maybe property prices won't rise faster than other prices for the next 20 years. Maybe they won't rise as fast as incomes. And you know what? Maybe that will actually finally make housing more affordable rather than less.
All right. And of course, while any freeze or drop in house prices, that really does help affordability. But if you listen to some people in the industry and the opposition, their warning is if you tax something more, the outcome is you get less of it. What do you think of that? Will we have less housing because of these budget measures?
Look, Treasury itself forecasts that 35,000 fewer homes will be built over the next decade, specifically because of the tax changes. Now, they also forecast that 65,000 extra homes will be built because of the $2 billion infrastructure fund that the government also announced in the budget. So they're forecasting a net 30,000 increase in homes built. But Westpac's economists actually throw some doubt on the Treasury forecast. They're not sure that Treasury's actually been very able to model the substitution effect that might happen, given that the government's deliberately quarantined new builds, newly built homes, from both the negative gearing changes and the capital gains tax changes. So Westpac actually thinks that will double the proportion of housing investment that is going towards new builds. And if that's the case, it's entirely possible that we could see an increase in home building as a result of the tax changes. It just depends how much risk investors are willing to take on those new builds.
Yeah, all right. And it depends who you talk to. All right. Michael, now you are an expert in this field. So tell me, are the headlines as significant as they suggest? Could this be the start of a new sort of era for Australian housing and the housing market? And could it mean that more Australians could achieve the great Australian dream, which is owning a house?
Yeah, well, you remember, Sam, that we did that series called Housing Hostages last year, that took a deep dive into a lot of what had gone wrong to make Australian housing incredibly unaffordable and what might be done to fix it. And in the end, the conclusion we sort of landed at was there are a lot of things that went wrong in combination to make housing incredibly unaffordable, and therefore a lot of things need to change and head in the same direction to make it more affordable. And you have to say that the government is trying to do those things. Whether they'll succeed or not is the question. You know, this is quite telling from Macquarie, you know, one of Australia's biggest banks, the fifth biggest bank in terms of home lending and all those kind of things. Their economists say prices rose 45% in the 3 years between 2000 and 2003. And while correlation isn't causation, they conclude it's pretty hard to argue that introducing the 50% capital gains tax discount wasn't a big part of that. So yes, there was falling interest rates around that time and other global and local factors that, you know, lent people towards property investment, but they say it's pretty inescapable that that change contributed to that single massive increase in housing prices. And therefore, they think rolling back capital gains tax to what it used to be, as well as the changes to negative gearing, which take it even further, those should improve housing affordability. And that's why they've come up with this forecast that there's a real chance house prices will basically go nowhere for 20 years. And if incomes do keep growing, which is another if, then maybe, as I said, finally, we might actually see house price to income ratios falling instead of continually going up. And let's face it, they can't go up forever, because eventually people just run out of money. And that's why we're seeing home ownership rates fall substantially over the past 20 or 30 years. Maybe, as the government forecasts, we will finally see that home ownership rate reverse and start going back up.
Michael Yander is the ABC's business editor. can find our series with Michael, Housing Hostages, in our feed from March last year. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.